All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
The Vancouver Canucks are moving on. The Nashville Predators, they're heading home. Canucks 1-0 winners in Game 6 at Bridgestone Arena. Bring on the Oilers. This is Rinkwide Vancouver. And we welcome you inside the Rinkwide studio in the lower lobby of the Wall Center Hotel. And center really says it all. Truly the middle of downtown and the downtown core, close to just about everything from restaurants to shopping, sports and theater venues, English Bay and Stanley Park, or just a quick walk away. Whether you have people in from out of town or you're considering a staycation yourself, make sure it includes the Wall Center Hotel. Jeff Patterson joined on this episode by Irfan Ghaffar. Get out of here, Predators. It's time for the Canucks and the Edmonton Oilers into round two. Man, it wasn't easy. The series was not easy. Looked like overtime was looming for a second time in this battle. But Pia Suter, who had been denied a number of times throughout the night, had five shots on goal, and he made his fifth one count with a minute and 39 seconds remaining. Takes a centering feed from Brock Besser and is able to redirect that pass inside the post on UC Saros, who was terrific. And, of course, what can you say about Artur Silovs? Yeah. A shutout in an elimination game. The Canucks go 3-0 in the games played in Nashville. It was a trip they didn't want to have to make, Irf, but it was a business trip, and they got better as this night went along. It was another slow start, I thought, for the Vancouver Canucks, but really after the first period, a hockey game broke out. I know there weren't many goals, but they traded chances. They exchanged shots in the second period, and the Canucks stuck with it. And, you know, one of the themes of this series was they didn't give up much. They didn't score much, but in the end, one was all they needed. They beat the Preds 4-2, and we are here to break it all down on Rinkwide Vancouver, a presentation of the Applewood Auto Group. And right now at Nissan Langley, Surrey, and Richmond, you can get a 2024 Rogue. You can lease at 2.99% for 24 months. Remember, it's all good at Applewood, and feels pretty good for the Vancouver Canucks punching their ticket to round number two.
Oh, absolutely. And this just means we get at least four more games together of Rinkwide Vancouver, Jeff, you and I. So definitely looking forward to that. The game itself probably needed an energy drink at some point, maybe a little bit more than that. It was a little bit of a snooze fest in the early parts of the game. It looked like after the first period, the Canucks weren't going to get many shots, and it was kind of going in the direction that all the other games kind of did this series. But in that third period, they turned it on. Pia Suter, you mentioned, five shots on net, the game-winning goal. Looked like he was going to be snake-bitten by UC Saros. He had so many grade-A opportunities. Elias Lindholm with five shots, then the penalty late in the game. So definitely a lot to dive into. But Jeff, I think we got to start with the decision to start with Artur Silovs.
Yeah, yesterday the story was the pink shirt. I think he looked pretty good in blue, quite frankly, as the Canucks, I guess, white as they road jerseys. They get the job done, whatever the case. JT Miller having a little bit of fun, and Okay, I tweeted after one period, but JT had worn the pink shirt. You know, it was done to loosen his team up. Or if they didn't look very loose in the first 20 minutes. So maybe a little fun at practice yesterday, but there wasn't much of a carryover effect. Whatever the case, Artur Silov's ice in his veins. This guy is all business. And, you know, think of his contributions in this series. He gets thrown into a tough start, a surprise start in game number 4. His NHL playoff debut in a hostile building on the road. Gives up 3, but then shuts the door, and the Canucks roar all the way back. They win that one, an overtime game. He didn't have to face a shot in overtime. I mean, that's the kind of OT that a goalie likes, but, you know, that's a high-leverage situation. It's about as high pressure as they come, and he didn't look like the moment was too big for him. We know about the World Championships last year for Latvia and his home country. Then the Canucks come back home with a chance to eliminate the Preds. It wasn't on the goaltender at all.
No.
2 shutout periods, in fact, 2.5 shutout periods there. They get a bit of a greasy one and then a seeing eye shot. But he has held up his end of the bargain. And I don't think that Rick Tocchet had much of a decision to make, that Silov's provided the kind of goaltending. And even if the Canucks had lost this game, I think Artur Silov was your game 7 starter, but we'll never know. There is a decision to make moving forward now. We'll spend a little time later on talking about the what's next for this hockey club. But Artur Silov's, Gustav Nyquist bats that puck onto the top of the net in the 3rd period, came that close. But there were some other stops there. Again, the Predators got out to a quick start, I thought, in this hockey game. Forced the issue. Silov's had to be good early. Had to be good through the middle stages where the shots were 13-12 in Nashville's favor. So both teams are busy. And ultimately, you need your penalty killer. You need your goaltender to be your penalty killer. That, to me, in a low-scoring series, I think penalty killing, the unsung hero. If we're giving out awards for the series as a whole, Canucks penalty killers, and again, they had to kill off 2.5, the late one by Lindholm that you mentioned, but the double minor to Brock Besser in the middle stages of the 2nd period, the penalty kill was so dialed in and locked in all series long. And again, tonight, and Silov's was a part of that.
Well, that's the thing. Your best penalty killer has to be your goaltender, and he was their best player tonight. 27 saves in that game 6. He's the 15th shutout in Canucks history in the Stanley Cup playoffs. That list, Kirk McLean 6, Luongo 5, Richard Berdur, Jacob Markstrom, Thatcher Demko, and now Artur Silov's with 1. Look, the decision to make Silov's a starter, I think it was more so based on a feel. I think that Casey DeSmith is healthy enough. I think that, you know, if you were to ask him, he wanted to play.
Sure.
But I think organizationally, they thought that Silov's gave them the best chance to win. Now, like you just mentioned, Jeff, if we were to go to game 7, who really would have known would have started that game? But we're not, so it doesn't matter. We mentioned game 1. We'll talk about that later. But I think it's the feel of the team. I think, to be completely honest, his rebound control is a lot more sharp. When he plays the puck, he gets out of the puck and goes behind the net. Also, he doesn't make mistakes when he's playing the puck. So he's not throwing passes, you know, at guys' feet and things like that. And he's a young guy. Like, you know, he experienced the Latvia and all of that, but this is his first taste. And in all reality, he's just going out and making the most of it.
Well, Irv, we've done this after 6 playoff games and a bunch of the regular season games down the stretch. And as you said, at least 4 more. And hopefully there's a bunch beyond that. People know how this works. We have the fun. We're sitting here. We're on this side of the camera, but it's a show for you Canuck fans here in the Vancouver market, throughout British Columbia and around the world, as we'll get to later on. But you know how this works. Hit us up at our Great Clips chat line. It's a presentation of Great Clips. What did you think of the night? What did you think of the series? What kind of chance do you give the Vancouver Canucks now as they advance to take on the Edmonton Oilers in round number 2? More than 4,400 hair salons throughout the United States and Canada. Great Clips, the world's largest hair salon brand, official hair salon of the National Hockey League. For more info, check them out online, greatclips.com. Great Clips. It's going to be great. And you see all of the feedback channels on our screen. If you are watching on YouTube or any of the social channels that we make rink-wide available here after each and every Canuck playoff game, 1-0 is their final score. 4-2, the Canucks take care of the Predators in 6 games. They outshoot Nashville. I repeat, they outshoot the Nashville Predators 29-27, 29 easily establishing a series high for the Vancouver Canucks. The high water mark was 21 shots in game 1 and again in game 4, and the Predators early on were doing what the Predators did throughout, throwing themselves in front of everything, blocking a ton of shots, just protecting that house, packing in on top of UC Saros. Saros had to make some stops, but ultimately the Predators continuing to sacrifice arms and legs and whatever the case, blocking a ton of shots. And Brock Besser, who had the hat trick the last time they were at Nashville, boy, I thought he had the winner on his stick. I think he probably thought he had the winner on his stick. One of the better Canucks scoring chances there with about 9 minutes to go in the 3rd period. JT across to Brock Besser, pulls the puck to his backhand, And Soros stuck with him, got the blocker on it. Brock probably trying to get it up a little bit higher than he did ultimately. Yeah. But still, that's the guy you wanted to have the puck based on the series, based on the season. That looked like it might be the series right there. But again, UC Soros doing his part to keep the Preds alive, to give them a chance. And, you know, that's going to be difficult for them. Ultimately, they don't get their goaltender a single goal in an elimination game. And, you know, the Vancouver Canucks go 3-0 on the road in this series. They go 5-0 on the season, Earth. They won all five of their trips to Bridgestone Arena. Like, that defies the odds. Again, you think how well the Preds played down the stretch. One of the best teams in the National Hockey League. And the Canucks were 5-for-5 as the visitors in what can be a hostile building. I saw it for myself when I was there last weekend.
You mentioned the five in this season, three in the playoffs. And I think that even before this game, there's a lot of people looking at going into this game kind of being like, I don't know. Nashville's got at least one. Well, you know what? They don't. They didn't. And I think that when you look at this Vancouver Canucks team, a lot of credit has to go to them. I mean, from the Nashville Predators perspective, everything is in your favor at home. You know, you get the brunt of the changes. You get to dictate your matchups. And, you know, you're on home ice, so you have your fans. The Vancouver Canucks went out there and played excellent road games, albeit the one game that they won came back with the last 2 minutes, but they still won that game. And that's all that really matters. So this team can go and take care of business on home ice and continue this play that they're able to do on the road, obviously generating this that same third period, take that into game one in Edmonton. I know it's a different team. I know it's going to be a lot faster. There's a lot more superstars on the Edmonton Oilers than there are on the Nashville Predators, but it could be an interesting series for sure.
As we break down the series in its totality, and again, we're looking at game number six here, a 1-0 win for the Vancouver Canucks. Canucks outscore the Predators 13-12. So that is how tight this was over six games. But what jumps out for me there is the offensive struggles of the Canucks. We know that. They had trouble putting the puck in the net. Brock Besser with four of the 13 goals that the Canucks scored in this series. But they held the Preds to 12 goals over six games, Earth. A shutout here in this one. Philip Forsberg was the only Nashville player to score more than one goal in this series. They had 11 different guys scored. They spread it around. But we wondered at the end, would the Canucks' depth prevail? And you look at the fact that, you know, Dakota Joshua scored a couple in game one. Elias Lindholm had a couple of goals as this series, including the overtime winner. Pia Suter ended up with two. He had that tip goal that we originally thought was credited to Quinn Hughes early in the series. And Pia Suter comes up, certainly his biggest goal as a Vancouver Canuck to swing this thing in their favor. So in the end, even though they didn't get much from Elias Pettersson and they didn't get anything from Nils Höglander and Connor Garland didn't score in this series, and you can go down the list, there was just enough depth in this Vancouver lineup to get over the hump here and to take care of business and to advance to the second round of the playoffs. Now, they advanced to the second round in the bubble. Of course, everybody was at home watching that. Nobody in the building in Edmonton. This time, they're going to Edmonton to play some real playoff hockey. But the series will start here in Vancouver. We'll wait for a start date, probably Tuesday.
Yep.
Just based on billing availability and the fact that the East is getting going here on Sunday. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, it'll be a little different than the bubble for these guys, Rogers Arena and Rogers Place. Those will be the two venues, and they will both be rocking. These teams have not met in a long time in the playoffs. They certainly haven't met in the social media age. And as much fun as it will be to see the two teams go head-to-head, the battle off the ice and in cyberspace, that may be where the real action is.
Oh, it's funny. I mean, I put something out on Twitter, and when they went up 3-1 in the series, I go, let's not get too far ahead of ourselves, but both these two teams are 3-1. Yes, the on-ice is going to be great, but you can't wait. We know how Canucks Twitter is and Canucks internet and what the memes and everything that they're able to do. But the Oilers love their team. Let's just put it that way. And, you know, for good reason. They got some really good players on it. But as you mentioned, trying to put a bow on this game and this series, Jeff, the Canucks had six different goal scorers in total in this series. Yeah. So you look at it, you mentioned the depth kind of being there, but you know, JT Miller gets a goal, Brock Besser, Dakota Joshua, two in the first game, nothing after that. Lindholm, Nikita Zadorov with a couple, and Pia Suter. Those are the only players that scored a goal for the Canucks against the Nashville Predators. So you're probably going to want to get a little bit more contributions from everyone in the lineup against the Edmonton Oilers. A completely different series, two completely different teams. I think that's one of the things that we're really going to have to look at here. Edmonton a lot faster, probably. Maybe the goaltending, you're going to give this one to the Canucks. You know, I know Skinner's been playing well. And then defensively, I think you might throw the edge to the Canucks as well. But that Edmonton Oilers offense is pretty, pretty, pretty good. So, yeah, again, it should be a fun series. But squeak by the Nashville Predators or they beat the Nashville Predators. I kind of, if it was game seven, maybe. Well, but
I think you have to look at it a couple of ways. I mean, the Canucks, since the All-Star break, they've struggled to generate a ton of offense. Yeah. The power play has been an issue there. It would have been nice if they had got a power play, and that's certainly something that we should probably jump into as well. But they have defended. I mean, they have morphed from this team that just lit up opponents in the first half of the season into a team that truly believes in its structure and its system, and they're hard to break down. And the Predators found that out the hard way. I mean, the Predators were one of the best rush teams in the National Hockey League, certainly in the second half of the season when they caught fire. There's a reason why two of the Coach of the Year candidates were in this series, although it's interesting to note as well that of the three Coach of the Year finalists announced earlier today,
two are out.
Only one is moving on to the second round, and that is Rick Tocchet and the Vancouver Canucks. And look, I wrote a piece at Canucks Army between games 5 and 6 here and said it was time for Tocchet and some of his tactics to take over here, because really it kind of felt like he had sat back, and Andrew Brunette had done the same on the other side. I don't think we had seen all that much of a chess match. And so right off the hop, from the drop of the puck in this hockey game, Lottoline started for the Vancouver Canucks. Now, Lottoline didn't do an awful lot, but you know what you had been doing wasn't working. Like, throw a curveball, force the Predators to adapt and adjust. And it did, because Andrew Brunette loves to start that Michael McCarron line. And he came and he had last change. So the Canucks set their line up first. And sure enough, Brunette comes back with his top line of Ryan O'Reilly. I thought we felt a little bit more of the chess match, obviously, in a scoreless game into the 58th minute. It truly felt like chess on ice. But I like the fact that Rick Tocchet got the Lotto line out there a couple of times on occasion. He was mixing things up a little bit. And I think you just have to do that to keep your players on their toes, to keep the other team on their toes. And ultimately, it worked. And look, when I look through my scoring sheet, and I don't know about you, but like, I keep a running total of things that I think are, yep, you know, talking points that we're going to get to after a game. I try to write down the really good scoring chances as the night goes along. I don't track scoring chances per se, but ones that I want to get to as we recap everything. My sheet is littered really with Canuck chances, way more than the Predators. Luke Evangelista had a nice chance in the first period. Artur Silovs was up to the challenge then and kind of signaled that he was into it. You know, Forsberg rattled one off the crossbar early in the second period. And then we talked about the fact that Nyquist was able to tip that one onto the top of the net. But other than that, there were some looks. And, you know, those frantic final seconds, I think Tyler Myers sells out and just throws himself in front of a puck. And, you know, that's paying the price at playoff time. But really, when I look through my Canuck chances here, and again, it was a slow start.
Yep.
Because through 10 minutes of this hockey game, Connor Garland was the lone Canuck forward to register a shot on goal. I think they had two shots through the first 10 minutes. And this was more of the same from what we've seen here. But what about the Quinn Hughes chance early? Like,
Brock Besser, I thought Brock Besser tried to put that in too. I don't know if that was a pass. I think that was a shot from both of them, and they played pass. I don't know how you missed that. It's probably, he's going to say, now that it's all said and done, it was harder for him to miss that than it was to put it in, just because of his angle and where he was, and the puck just got up and went right back across the crease. But that one could have changed the dynamic of this game. I know they obviously won, but you know, it could have made them breathe a little easier. You mentioned the chances. According to Natural Stat Trick, the Canucks had 8 high danger chances. The Preds with 12. I mean, I know Silovs had to make some big saves in this hockey game, but obviously you just mentioned your notes. The Canucks definitely did have some chances. They're crediting with the Predators with a few more.
Yeah, and Pia Suter with a couple.
Yeah.
On one hand, you're thinking, is he due? On the other, you're thinking, is he ever going to score again? But he had that rebound chance in the second period after JT came down the right side, got the shot away. Juicy rebound there, and Pia Suter couldn't bury it. And then off the end boards early in the third period. And you remember back, was I think game one off the end boards when Pia Suter had a chance there and Saros was able to get side to side and flash one of those bright yellow pads and make the stop there. And I was thinking that Pia Suter might be having those yellow pads in his nightmares if this thing didn't go the way the Canucks wanted. But Pia Suter obviously had some opportunities. Tyler Myers winds up with a big slap shot there in the third period. Again, Saros was up to it. Besser with that chance for Miller that we talked about. Lindholm overskated that puck, was just sitting tantalizingly in the slot with about 4 minutes to go.
He was involved in this game. He was all over the place.
And in this series, really. Yeah. And when we talk about the penalty killing too, he's such a huge part of that. He takes the penalty, just up the ante there with 34 seconds to go, but the Canucks able to dodge that bullet. But he scores the overtime winner. I mean, that was probably the biggest goal of this series. Maybe you could argue that Pia Suter was to end it ultimately. But, you know, if the Canucks don't win that one in overtime, then Preds are coming back to Vancouver in a 2-2 tie. And if it went the way it did the other night, then maybe they were the team that were going to have the Canucks on the ropes in this one. So Lindholm scores an overtime goal in game 4. In game 1, it was a greasy goal from distance that Saros should have stopped, but it was a goal the Canucks needed. I mean, they were down 1 and it got the crowd back into it. And
Rick Tocchet saying, this is why you acquire him right after that game. Remember giving him all that love?
He had a good series. Yeah. Like territorially, I know the faceoff, there was the one game he got absolutely schooled.
What everyone did, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not saying it was a perfect series by any stretch, and it wasn't an easy series, but you think of where he was a couple of weeks ago, couldn't get in the lineup, he was hurt, and we were wondering, was this guy going to even contribute? No, I mean, absolutely. I would say Elias Lindholm was a guy that pulled on the rope, plays 18 and a half minutes in this hockey game, has five shots on goal, didn't fare so well in the faceoffs, but again, seeing a fair bit of Ryan O'Reilly on the other side, and O'Reilly's a master in the faceoff circle. This is why they went out and got Elias Lindholm. It was for playoff time. You were never going to judge him as a Canuck on the regular season and the fact that he had trouble getting traction and then got hurt. It was, could he contribute come playoff time? And is there more for that line? Yeah, I think there is. The fact that Dakota Joshua after the opening game really wasn't much of a factor, and Connor Garland set up a couple of game-winning goals but didn't score himself, and this was a 20-goal score, one of five 20-goal scorers in the Canucks lineup. You want more from Connor Garland, but you know, now all these guys can exhale, kind of wipe the slate clean, and hope that a new series brings about a little bit more production and maybe against an Edmonton team that opens it up a little bit more. Maybe there will be some more opportunities. I mean, I think of that line, Elias Lindholm was probably the most prominent on the score sheet and just in terms of his contributions. And again, I come back to a penalty kill that by my math killed off 20 of 22 in the series, including a 5-on-3 in game four. The last time they were in Nashville, all three of the penalties were against the Canucks in this hockey game. So over the final two games in this series, the power plays were 7-2. And again, the margins were so fine. Like, there's no way that the power play should have been 7-2 in the final two games of this series. Based on the territorial nature, Canucks get hosed a little bit, and maybe they can laugh last because they win the series. Damn, like, give their penalty killers, you know, all the love, not just on this night, but through this series. Their penalty killing was sensational. And those are just words that have not rolled off the tongue in these parts in a long, long time. And JT Miller made the point after game four, like, you know, last year they were giving up a goal in that situation late in the game when the Predators got a power play and they were able to kill that one off and ultimately win the game in overtime. And here, again, the Preds get the double minor to Brock Besser. I thought maybe that was as good as they looked all series on the penalty kill. Like, they just gave the Predators nothing in 4 minutes of power play time there. And then, again, 34 seconds to close out the game. Canucks, just a masterful job on the penalty kill.
We mentioned special teams, and obviously we're going to talk about the power play as well for the Vancouver Canucks. But just to put a ball on the cap of that PK, 93.8% since April 10th, Jeff.
Yeah.
That's a good PK. That's top of the league PK. Like, that is good. And that includes guys like Elias Lindholm, you know, guys like Dakota Joshua, guys like, you know, JT Miller there on Elias Pettersson, you know, getting involved as well. The defenseman blocking shots and being able to get there. To be frank, it's your goaltenders, right? Obviously, since then, the Demko didn't play, so you can put Casey DeSmith there, and you can put Arthur Seelovs in there as guys that have helped this PK get to how good it's been. It's funny, because you're going to have one of the best penalty kills in the National Hockey League going up against a power play that is absolutely going berserk right now in the Edmonton Oilers. Yeah. So,
no, you're right. I mean, that right there is it's probably the game within the game. And we'll see what a challenge the Canucks are going to have. But they do go in on a high in that one facet of the game. Their penalty kill was lights out good. We want your feedback. We want you to be involved here on Rinkwide. So we go to Jordy from the YouTube channel. Says, J-Pat, you've been through it all. How does it feel to finally see a series win after so long? It has been a while. Again, covered the bubble from a distance. But like everybody else, was on the outside looking in then. And so
2015, we were there.
Yeah, but they didn't win a series then. 2012 didn't win a series, got swept by San Jose in 2013. So, yeah, you got to go back to the 2011 run to find the last time the Vancouver Canucks won playoff series with fans in the stands. And, of course, that year was Slay the Dragon. And then they advanced to beat the same Nashville team in the second round, the San Jose Sharks in five. And, what might have been when they got to the Stanley Cup final. We know how that one ended. So we won't spend a lot of time on that. Matt from the YouTube chat says, without a ton of exaggeration, I bet 4-3 will be considered a low score in the next series.
I mean, you would think, right? Just with the offensive firepower that the Edmonton Oilers have and the Canucks' ability to score goals, you know it's there. I mean, Elias Pettersson, is he going to wake up and find the Elias Pettersson of old with a couple days off now and you're playing a different opponent? You know, your travel is short. Everything is there for you. It's an all-Canadian matchup. all eyes will be on this series if they weren't before. Some people might not have watched this series because they thought it would be too boring or whatever. People are staying up late to watch this Edmonton-Vancouver series, and that's for sure. So definitely a lot of firepower could be expected.
Yeah, we may have three Canadian teams through to... And the other thing is that this guarantees a Canadian team is going around
the
three.
The conference final,
Yeah, we'll see how things play out here. But Game 7 coming up, Toronto and Boston on Saturday night, and we know that... Winnipeg is out. Robert on Twitter says, I love the fact it was a dog-eat-dog tough series mental toughness test with three exclamation marks. And so we call it a chess match on ice, and it really was. And stylistically, I'll be curious to see what the next round looks like if the Canucks can implement their systems and keep that high-flying Oilers team at bay. But I do think that there is some value in Rick Tocchet all season, or if was banging that drum about non-negotiables and structure and wall work and everything else. And, you know, for the most part, the Vancouver Canucks triumphed in a lot of areas in that regard. Was it pretty? No, not necessarily. Does it feel pretty good moving on to round number two?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it does. And so, you know, I think the positive reinforcement is stick with it. Don't blink late in these games. And the Canucks showed the resolve in game four to come all the way back. And, you know, you're not going to do that very often, but they pulled that one out of the fire. And, you know, even game three in Nashville, got a 2-0 lead, defended well. Preds got a late goal, applied some pressure, but they got out of there with a 2-1 victory. And so goals were at a premium in this series. 12 goals for the Predators in six games. That tells you that the Canucks, with three different goaltenders and three different goalies, get victories in the series. I mean, there was a lot of things that didn't add up and make sense. You know, we talked about the fact that the better team often didn't win the game on a particular night, but I do think on balance, and the shot clock bears it out, over 60 minutes in this hockey, I think the better team prevailed 1-0 tonight.
No, absolutely. And I think that third period showed, right? The Canucks came out of that third, out of that second intermission break, and they looked like they wanted to win that hockey game. The first period, yeah, maybe not so much. It was kind of them feeling out each other, and it was, we were sitting here saying that, oh, this is going to be another one of those boring games. I mean, the game was kind of boring until you got to the third period, but Trev P says, and I want to ask you about this player alone, because there was a lot of talk when the Canucks acquired him, and that's Ian Cole. Just Cole was very good tonight. Cole's been pretty solid for most of this series, right? He hasn't been a guy that's been too flashy. You haven't noticed him a bunch, which is probably a good thing. Maybe a couple little mistakes here and there. He plays 18:35 ice time, three shots blocked, and he had a couple hits. So I think that when you look at it, it's the experience factor, and you go into this game and you have that guy. I know Frank Saravalli talked about on Canucks Conversation a few days ago that they're starting to lean on him a little bit more, you know, in these situations. You go to the guy that's been there before, played for a bunch of teams, Stanley Cup champion. So now, you know, they're obviously on to the next round. But I think he is obviously a big part of this room.
Yeah, and on a night when the team doesn't give up a goal, you look at the goaltender first. But, I mean, the guys in front obviously doing the job as well. In an elimination game, the Canucks outshoot the Predators 10-3 with Ian Cole on the ice at even strength. I mean, that tells you that he wasn't defending an awful lot. Ian Zadorov. You know, Zadorov was one of the darlings of this series without a doubt. And we'll get to our three stars from this game coming up here momentarily. But just back to Ian Cole. Anytime I look at Ian Cole's night statistically, I look at his time on ice, and then I immediately go to the shorthanded ice time. And guess who led the Vancouver Canucks in shorthanded ice time again? And it was Ian Cole. Now, they only had to kill off the two full penalties and then the 34 seconds. So, you know, it wasn't a heavy workload on the penalty kill, but 2.5 minutes, 2:35 of shorthanded ice time, Ian Cole leading the Vancouver Canucks. Like, those are hard minutes. Those are heavy minutes. Those are against the other team's best players, some of the best players in the league, and a guy like Philip Forsberg, and a guy that's won the Stanley Cup in Ryan O'Reilly, and Roman Josi, who's won a Norris Trophy and is a finalist again this year. 2 for 22. The Predators, that number is going to haunt them. The fact that they went 0-for-3 on home ice is going to haunt them as well. But the power play, it was there, and they just couldn't cash in. They did in game five, but they couldn't here in game six. So, you know, Ian Cole down the stretch was a guy that I was sort of a proponent of load management when possible if they had healthy bodies.
Obviously, For this reason, maybe.
You know, they had some injuries, though, along the way. They couldn't probably implement load management as much as they want. And, you know, Tocchet mentioned a couple of times that that's not an easy sell, that hockey players are like hockey players. They want to play, right? They don't want to sit out, and even if it is for the benefit of the team in the long term. But, I mean, I think you're seeing the veteran savvy. You're seeing the championship pedigree now. I did think that he slowed down over the final 20 games. It's a long season, and for the most part, he was healthy, and he played almost every night for the Vancouver Canucks this season. I thought over the final 20-game stretch that maybe there had been a drop in his performance, but he's found a way here to level up. And so that pairing with Zadorov, you know, call them the third pair.
Yeah.
But in terms of their usage and their utilization, Zadorov again up over 20 minutes in this hockey game. Not as prominent offensively, obviously, although there was a stretch there when nobody had scored. I thought, you watch, like, he's going to be the hero again, Irv, but it wasn't to be. Carson Soucy and Tyler Myers, they saw a lot of that Forsberg line. Like, that's a difficult matchup, and, you know, territorially and the underlying numbers, not particularly pretty for Soucy and Myers on the night. But then we talk about Tyler Myers with the, you know, the selfless block of the shot and the dying seconds. Like, that's the kind of stuff you have to do to win at playoff time. So everybody knows the Elias Pettersson is struggling storyline, right? Like, you can't ignore it. There were some moments in this hockey game, but you and I both looked at each other. Was it after the first or the second when the Sportsnet broadcast had ISO footage of him? And as much as he's struggling, like, we all know that, when they just have the camera trained on him, that didn't do him any favors, I didn't think. You know, for the most part, hard to find passengers. There's more guys that you need more from, without a doubt. But, you know, in a tough playoff series where every inch, you had to fight for every inch. Again, I go back to the tweet from Robert. You know, there probably is some real value in the guys that hadn't experienced true playoff hockey. They've got six games of it now.
Yeah.
And they know what's worked and what hasn't worked and areas that they're going to have to elevate their game. And that, you know, Elias Pettersson is at the top of that list without a doubt for the Vancouver Canucks. They're going to need more from him. And maybe, just maybe, in a series that opens up and has a few more chances along the way, like, maybe that plays into his hands. But, you know, Pettersson nothing. Nils Höglander, a 24-goal scorer. No goals from him. Didn't look particularly dangerous throughout the series. So you have to hope that at some point those kinds of players can turn a page for the Vancouver Canucks.
We looked at this team in this series and kind of compared it. You know, Nashville Predators, credit to their depth guys, their lines on 2, 3, and 4. But we can honestly say that that top line goes, the team goes as that top line goes. There's a lot of star power in the Edmonton Oilers, Jeff, right? You got Connor McDavid, Zach Hyman, 50-goal scorer.
Yep.
Nuge, who's been having a hell of a season, a career year last year in points. Leon Draisaitl, Evander Kane, who's a playoff monster. So if you can't get up for this series in the second round and use this time wisely, all of the Canucks, I think, Quinn Hughes probably going to get rest, all the injuries that everyone has. The one wild card, Dr. Demko, we saw him on the ice at practice. Obviously, we don't know how long it's going to take. He hasn't spoken, hasn't even skated, hasn't done anything extraordinary, hasn't had any of the fast-paced drills, as Rick Tocchet said, or anything like that. So we'll see what happens there, but there's a lot of firepower. So if I'm Elias Pettersson, I'm looking at this and saying, okay, we got through this series, and I wasn't a factor. I need to be there for my team in this next round, and, you know, hopefully he's able to do that.
Before we get too far down the road in the next round, of course, we're breaking down a 1-0 Canucks victory that allows them to advance in six games, take care of the Predators 4-2. We're delighted that Mr. Lube is back on Rinkwide, and we had Mr. Lube here with us down the stretch, and they're back here, and they'll be with us into round number 2 as well. And after every game, we're going to ask a poll question in the YouTube chat. And so our question tonight, pretty simply, is, do you give the Canucks a chance against the Edmonton Oilers? And this is based on the way that these two teams have just come out of the playoff series and the way that they are playing. So do you give the Canucks a chance now to advance to round number 3? The poll question is brought to you by Mr. Lube. Need a tire change or tire service? Mr. Lube provides no appointment tire service and sales, servicing all makes and models, including electric vehicles, 16 locations in Metro Vancouver for one near you. Go to MrLube.com. All right, let's take a look at the 3 stars of this hockey game. I thought relatively easy selection when the 2 goaltenders did the things that they did on the night at Bridgestone Arena. There is no doubt, the goalies, you see them there, but when you're the only guy that scores in a 1-0 elimination game that late, Pia Suter is your hero. He was around the puck all night long, and so for that, we give him the first star nod. Pia Suter is star number 1. Artur Silov's, again, first career playoff shutout. This guy's 2-1 in the series, so he delivers half of the victories for the Vancouver Canucks, and we'll see where things go. And UC Saros, who started slowly, and we kept pointing out his save percentage. He didn't face a lot of shots as the series went along, but he was really good in Game 5 and was every bit that good again here in Game 6, but hard for a goaltender when a team doesn't do anything to pick him up offensively. So Saros, the best of the Predators on their final night of the season. The 3 stars are a presentation of Greta Bar, YVR. Greta Bar has been a terrific host for Canucks Army and our viewing parties, and there's going to be more road games, so more opportunities to get to Greta Bar YVR and hang out with other Canuck fans. And, you know, if there had been a Game 7 in this series, it would have been a great place to check that and watch that. But as it stands, Next series is going to start on home ice for the Vancouver Canucks. So games 1 and 2. And again, we think that those will go Tuesday and Thursday in all likelihood. I see a lot of chatter that Tuesday certainly to start the series. But it would make sense if they want a Saturday night game, game 3.
Unless they give them 2 days off. But I don't think they're going to start Sunday.
No, neither do I.
I don't think that they're going to turn that around that quick.
Turn the boys loose on Broadway for a night? Job
that's
well
all
done?
I put that out. That's all the incentive they needed. One free night on Broadway. You're coming home on the charter tomorrow. Just eyes closed, sunglasses on. You won your first round. Don't play till Tuesday. Have at it.
Yeah. So a reminder, the 3 stars of the game, a presentation at Greta Bar. YVR, it's Canucks Army's home for food, drinks, and watching the game. And we'll have more details about playoff watch parties for round number 2. Join the crew at our favorite game day watch party spot, Greta Bar. YVR. Vancouver Canucks are on to the second round of the Stanley Cup playoffs. That sounds pretty good. It's been a while since they have been there. They got there in the bubble, obviously, the play-in round against Minnesota, and then they took care of the defending Stanley Cup champs, Ryan O'Reilly and the St. Louis Blues then, and we know about Bubble Demko, the legend of Bubble Demko, pushing the Vegas Golden Knights. So back to Edmonton, this time with a packed building, but the series is going to start here in Vancouver, and we'll see if the Canucks can take advantage of home ice. We know the fans were so good in the 3 games that were played at Rogers Arena. The
fans were unbelievable in an empty building watching it on a screen.
You're right. Yeah. Credit to the people that showed up there. But yeah, I mean, it's only going to get ramped up amped up that much more, but it'll be the same in Edmonton again. Two Canadian teams duking it out here in round number 2. It's going to be a ton of fun. The game tonight, not necessarily a ton of fun, but the result looks pretty good on the Vancouver Canucks. 1-0 is the final score. Jeff and Irv with you here. Keep the feedback coming to all the feedback channels that you see on your screen here. We want to hear from you and your thoughts. We'll get back into our listener feedback segment. We've got the staff that stands out. We're going rink-wide, worldwide, and we'll see who's checking out our program and where on this planet Earth they call home, and more about this series, but also more as we start to look ahead to round number 2, the Canucks and the Oilers. 1-0, the final score. Pia Suter, the only goal. The Canucks take down the Preds in 6. Thanks for joining us here. You've got it on Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Rinkwide Vancouver is a presentation in part of the Vancouver Canadians, who are back at the Nat. Catch fireworks, giveaways, Friday Nooner, superstar appearances all spring and summer long. Get your tickets at CanadiansBaseball.com. 33 giveaways, a record 33 giveaways this season. The Seas are back at the Nat on Tuesday, May the 7th. Full homestand that includes a superstar appearance on the 7th, a Nooner at the Nat on the 10th, and a family fun Sunday on the 12th, where kids 12 and under can run the bases. For tickets, call 604-872-5232 or go to CanadiansBaseball.com. Jeff and Irv, as we break down The Canucks win over the Predators, starting to set up what happens next with the Edmonton Oilers. But Irv, you mentioned the fact that, oh, what was it, 15,000 tickets sold for the viewing party at Rogers Arena tonight. I know that the broadcast dipped in at one point. There hadn't been a whole lot to cheer about or celebrate at that point. Probably some nervous energy in the building as well. I can only imagine that it erupted when Pia Suter rode to the rescue at 18:21 of that third period with the game's only goal. Again, it's been fun. It's just been so good to have playoff hockey. Was it Gordy that asked me earlier about what it's like to have playoff hockey back? Yeah, it has been a long time coming, a damn long time since 2015, obviously. And we know that that series didn't go the way the Canucks wanted against the Calgary Flames in the first round. We'll see what happens here against the Edmonton Oilers in round number two. Edward on YouTube says, love J-Pat's takes and will be following the Canucks' second round fight against McJesus and Draisaitl down here in El Salvador. We're getting ahead of ourselves.
Like,
we're not the rink-wide, worldwide segment just yet, but we may have to put a map in Central America. Keep up the great work. Longtime fan. We thank Edward for checking in from El Salvador.
You mentioned playoff hockey.
Mm-hmm.
Pia Suter, been eating out of a straw for a couple of weeks since he got that Carson Soucy shot in the mouth.
Right.
So he's only recently graduated to mashed potatoes and fish. So yes, playoff hockey, it's definitely something. The guy's been eating through his straw. Remember, Dan Hamhuis had to do that. Wasn't in the playoffs, but when he ate a puck, and he was the guy that also had to do that, the jaw wired shut. This year, Connor Bedard, he fractured his jaw, wired shut there. So yeah, getting food that you're not able to chew kind of sucks. And for him, you know, you hope it's going to get better soon here.
Yeah, I would think scoring the series winner would ease some of the pain.
Definitely help it.
No, I mean, look, a lot of guys play through a lot of things. It was amazing that he came back into that game, no full cage. Yeah. Like we saw Bedard, you know, wear the bubble right down to the end. And for Pia Suter, I mean, that's tough. Go to the front of the net, you take the Carson Soucy shot, eat it in the teeth. And for him to get back into that game and stay in this series and ultimately find a way to cash in on his fifth shot of the night, good for him. All right, let's get to our stat that stands out. I mentioned that a little bit earlier. The stat that stands out for me, though, and there are many, Artur Sillaws with the shutout and the fact that the Canucks advanced, but again, in a game and a series that was so tight, and the Vancouver Canucks didn't have a single power play, Brock Besser gets the double minor, gets the stick up on Jeremy Lauzon. Now, he sees Lauzon coming. It was a bit of a defensive action, and he gets the stick in the face. He did. I thought maybe it would be two. I guess they saw that there must have been a little bit of blood there. Whatever the case, Lauzon seemed no worse for wear. And look, Brock Besser doesn't take a lot of penalties, but you know, that was a Predator trying to force the issue, trying to be physical, and Brock bracing himself does get the stick up. So I didn't have a huge issue with that one, but you're just thinking, okay, so the Canucks kill off a double minor. The next penalty's got to go against Nashville.
Yeah.
Connor Garland got flattened on the end boards. I think it was Josi, and it looked like it was a lot of stick involved in that and no call. And then ultimately it's Lindholm who gets called for cross-checking in the dying second. So on the night, the power plays were 3-0. Again, in this series, the power plays 22 for the Nashville Predators and 13 for the Vancouver Canucks. I mean, that's a pretty wide discrepancy there. And so in a scoreless game, an elimination game, not a single power play for the Vancouver Canucks. And really the last two games in Nashville, the Canucks had two power plays in game four, but remember, there were the overlapping ones by 4 seconds. I think Lindholm got called for interference, and we got tangled up with a linesman off a faceoff, and that negated a Canucks power play. So the Canucks had almost no power play time whatsoever late in this series in Nashville, and yet they were still able to overcome that and prevail. But that's absolutely a stat that stands out, that not a single power play on the night. Maybe that plays into this notion that power plays early in a series as the refs try to establish control, but it's tougher to gain power play opportunities the deeper you get into a playoff series.
Oh, especially when elimination time comes in. You know, they don't want to put the whistles away. I got one. Canucks are second team in history to win a playoff series with three different goaltenders, earning a win, joining the only 1972 Chicago Blackhawks when they did it. So, I mean, it's a recipe for success in this round. I think you're going to see a little bit more of a one-sided goaltending matchup in the next round against the Edmonton Oilers, and the health of Thatcher Demko is now going to be the question as we turn to the Edmonton Oilers. But yeah, three different goalies for the Vancouver Canucks earning a victory, the second team in NHL history to do that in a winning series.
Well, there you go. A couple of stats that stand out. A presentation of Fountain Tire, and as we head further into spring, ask the Fountain Tire experts about their seasonal car care package to keep your vehicle in top shape. Find your nearest service dealer at fountaintire.com. I wondered at the outset of this series. I figured the Canucks should win. I thought the Canucks would win. Didn't know how the series would play out. Every playoff series is different. But, you know, the minute Thatcher Demko goes down, that certainly threw a wrench into some things. Yeah. Although, again, goaltending, when you lose your starter and an all-star, the fact that goaltending wasn't really a factor for the Vancouver Canucks is a tribute to both Casey DeSmith and Arthur Sillovs, Ian Clark, the development system of the Vancouver Canucks. And so, you know, you don't want to have to go three deep, but in the first round of the playoffs, the Canucks did, and they were able to overcome that. So, you know, again, there's a lot of things that add up that go into winning a playoff round. And, you know, let's take a look at how many wins the Vancouver Canucks have here. A couple of weeks into the playoffs, this is a segment that we call Four Wins. It is brought to you by Four Winds Brewing. It takes four wins to advance to the next round. And there you can see the Vancouver Canucks with four on the board. They take care of the Nashville Predators 4-2. Of course, the Oilers dispatch the Kings in 5. So Los Angeles, I'm sure, will be antsy and ready to go as they come here to open the second round. The Colorado Avalanche sitting around waiting. And, you know, early on, it looked like Vegas. But those two teams, as we do this show, are battling, and they're scoreless late in the first period in Game 6 of that series. So that's the only series in the West that is still going on. The winner of Dallas-Vegas will face the Colorado Avalanche. And then the second round is nearly set. In the East, the Rangers and Carolina are going to battle. They both advanced. Florida takes care of the Tampa Lightning. And the Panthers await the winner of the only Game 7 that we are guaranteed at this point in the opening round of the playoffs, and that is the Boston Bruins and the Toronto Maple Leafs.
Of course, it's the Leafs.
The Leafs staying alive, even without Austin Matthews, grinding out a victory, William Nylander. So that series tied 3-3 with Game 7 set for Saturday night. But the Vancouver Canucks have four on the board. They've got that game puck thing that they do after every game, and the overtime win in Nashville the last time. So their third win of the series, they had been posting. The team social department had been posting who was putting the pucks.
Yeah.
But I understand that this video may have revealed a player with some sort of injury or an apparatus.
Okay. So they kind of stopped that a little bit.
At least for that night. Yes. It didn't get past the the editors.
I'm going to do some digging and who did what there.
I'm not sure who had the puck to put into. We'll see if Arthur Sillovs or P.S. Suter, whoever, they do their little puck thing. But there you go. Four Wins brought to you by Four Wins. And Four Wins Brewing, a family-owned and operated outfit on Delta. Check out the Four Wins Brewing tap room and kitchen located in the Tilbury area, serving beers, burgers, and their famous tacos every day from 11 a.m. to 8 p.m. I'm sure a big celebration there as the Canucks take care of the Preds. And Four Wins Brewing, also home to the Four Wins Light Lager, a crisp, clean, and easy-drinking beer. A beer for everybody. Perfect beer for before, after, or during the game. Four Wins Light Lager. Ask for it at your local liquor store or have some delivered right to your door through the online shop at fourwindsbrewing.ca. And if you need to load up for round number two, keep our friends at Four Wins Brewing in mind.
Absolutely. I mean, stats just get poured in after games like this from different social channels. NHL PR putting out something. Arthur Sillovs, 23 years and 42 days. He's the 14th rookie goaltender in NHL history to record a shutout in a potential series clinching game. The only others to do so in the past 30 years, Jeff, are Akira Schmid, Matt Murray in 2017, Carey Price in 2008, and Ilya Brizgalov in 2006. So Canucks are making history. They have been all season long with the stats that guys like Quinn Hughes were putting up, historic seasons from JT Miller, franchise-setting seasons by this team as well. So it's interesting. You know what else was interesting? Looking at the betting odds before this game, because when you looked at it, if you wanted to make some money and you were a Canucks fan, this segment obviously brought to you by Bet365, our proud partner of Sakarison Price, Canucks Conversation, and us right here, Jeff, you know, I on Rinkwide Vancouver. Open account with Bet365 today and bet on a huge range of markets. So whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. Use code VANBONUS. So the Canucks were plus 105. They were actually the underdog in this hockey game. So I know a lot of people thought that this team was going to be a lot closer than people thought. Put a little bit of money on the Canucks, you could have won some there. The Nashville Predators, obviously the home favorite. It's going to be interesting when we look at the Edmonton Oilers against the Vancouver Canucks. Early lines haven't come out yet on Bet365. I was just looking. But when you think about it, the Edmonton Oilers are probably going to have the edge in the series. I do think game one, the Canucks will be favored at home, though.
You come back to this idea that the Canucks were 27-9-5 on home ice.
Yeah.
Like they really were a dominant team, even though they struggled a little bit against the Predators and only won one of the three games played at Rogers Arena. Of course, we know the regular season story against the Oilers, the four wins. Plug for four wins. There you go. They were 4-0 against the Edmonton Oilers. But three of those were so early before the Oilers made the coaching change. McDavid was playing through something. But then they went into Edmonton the weekend before the final week of the regular season. And Casey DeSmith in goal, got the lead, were able to hold off the Oilers. McDavid didn't play that night. I get that. And that absolutely is part of that story. But the Canucks played pretty well. Those are the things that Rick Tocchet's, I'm sure, going to try to build off for his hockey clubs. He prepares them for the Oilers. But I think so much of this is going to come back to discipline, staying out of the penalty box. Because, you know, the Los Angeles Kings were one of the best penalty-killing teams in the National Hockey League over the bulk of the season and just got absolutely obliterated by that Oilers power play. So, you know, the first key to killing penalties is don't take them at all. And we'll see if the Canucks can be a disciplined bunch. I mean, McDavid by himself is likely to draw a few just with his speed, you know, but the Canucks are going to have to do more. I mean, clearly you saw in this series against Nashville, if you're held to the outside, you're on the perimeter, it's hard to draw a lot of penalties there. So how many times throughout the year did we hear Rick Tocchet urging his guys to get to the inside, to try to make things happen there? I do think that that's an area that the Vancouver Canucks are going to have to be a little bit better at against the Oilers than they were against the Preds.
Absolutely. A lot of people responding to our Mr. Lube poll on YouTube, our YouTube chat. Do the Canucks have a chance against Edmonton? 84% with yes. Obviously, there's a chance. I don't think the Edmonton Oilers are going to sweep the Vancouver Canucks here, but hell of a shot says, I have a feeling this playoff series is going to generate a ton of hate between these two teams that will drag it into next season. I think it will too, Jeff. I think that this, with
great.
The characters
it's
involved, like, I think definitely for sure.
There are a lot of people that dump on this playoff format, right?
Mm-hmm.
But this playoff format is designed to create playoff rivalries. Yeah. Now, there's no guarantee, as much as people seem to think that Gary pulls strings there at the league office. But this is exactly why you don't reseed and you stay within your division, because now you get two Canadian teams, two fairly close geographic rivals that haven't seen each other in the playoffs. You got star power for days with McDavid and Dreisaitl and Miller and Hughes. And if Pettersson can get his level up, you want to include him in that conversation. And the season that Zach Hyman has had, Evan Bouchard, breakout year. There is just so much individual talent here that it has the makings to be a ton of fun. I just don't know stylistically what it's going to look like, because I think the Canucks defensively hope that it looks a fair bit like it just did against Nashville, and that they can up their offense just a little bit more so that it's not such a slog fest. I do hope that the Canucks find some ways, you know, and look, this league's so heavily scouted. You know that the Oilers have been watching closely. They knew that they would play the team that prevailed in this series. They saw the Predators block a ton of Canuck shots. You know, is Edmonton going to pay that price? Are you going to have the same buy-in from the Edmonton Oilers that Andrew Brunette was able to get from his team to block all those shots? Or does that present an opportunity maybe for the Canucks to get a few more pucks to the net? Test Stuart Skinner. Every year, Stuart Skinner has looked like a weakness for the Edmonton Oilers.
But not this year.
No, I mean, this is a guy that I think has continued to work on his craft, and there's going to be pressure on him. But there'll be pressure on both goaltenders, obviously. So if Thatcher Demko was in and healthy, you'd say, hey, wide edge for the Vancouver Canucks. But does the Canucks go down their depth chart, then, you know, does that level the playing field? A little bit, probably. I think it does. But
you've got built-in hate from a couple members of the Canucks already, and Elias Lindholm and Nikita Zadorov.
For sure.
On the Edmonton Oilers there. But yeah, I mean, it's going to be tough. A lot of people are saying that, you know, Zadorov against McDavid, Shaklobber McDavid, and things about Evander Kane and things like that. It's going to be an interesting one because Corey Perry also plays for the Edmonton Oilers. He's an absolute pest. He's won a Stanley Cup and been three consecutive Stanley Cup finals and lost them all. Jeff, going into this series against Nashville Predators, Canucks were the favorite, obviously, for good reason. Going in against the Edmonton Oilers, the Canucks aren't going to have any pressure on them. They're not supposed to beat the Edmonton Oilers. The Edmonton Oilers is the team in Canada that, with McDavid, with Draisaitl, with all the superstar talent, you should be winning. You should be making it to the conference final. Why haven't you been to a cup final yet? So that dynamic of the conversation is going to be interesting as well. So there's not going to be as much pressure as people may think on the Vancouver Canucks to get by the Oilers.
There's not a single guy in that Canuck locker room. There's nobody in the organization that is going to exhale at this point and say, all right, one around, all's good.
Yep.
But I do think that there's a clear demarcation point, Irv, that this team, with the season it had to win a round.
Yep.
You know, what happens from this point forward, I want to see them go in there and, you know, hopefully match up against the Edmonton Oilers and give it a great fight and, you know, may the best team win kind of thing. But if the Canucks bow out against the Oilers, the fact that they got out of the first round, they gave the fans those home playoff dates, and now they're going to give them more at Rogers Arena. They had to win a playoff round after a 109-point regular season with the star power they had. You're right. With the Oilers, this is a team that's had the playoff failures. They're built to win the Stanley Cup. And so even though the Canucks won the division based on Edmonton's crappy start to the season, cost Jay Woodcroft his job, I'm with you. The Canucks have home ice advantage in the series, but I would think would be the overwhelming underdogs as things get going here. But maybe that's a good position for the Vancouver Canucks. Take a little pressure off them. And, you know, can they protect home ice? Can they send it back to Edmonton and, you know, have the Oilers feeling a little bit of heat? Hey, we'll see how things play out with the first couple of games here.
I really don't care. I'm going to say this. It's nothing like a one anthem playoff series, you know? Get the one anthem going.
Was Canucks, Billy Oilers. Stringman, what was his
Billy
name?
Billy Stringman was stringing along the anthem there.
Oh, my goodness, you had all the jokes, but I wasn't sure they were ever going to get to an opening faceoff. And come on, we've got this deep into rink-wide here tonight, and we haven't mentioned Nicole Kidman with the...
Trying to go Preds go, but didn't...
Yeah,
she didn't.
Not sure about waving the towel exactly.
The catfish went on the ice way too late into the game. Imagine having that wrapped to your pants all night long or wherever you took it to get it in, but... It's, I mean, look, the Canucks are through. You and I will be here for at least four more games, so that'll be awesome, giving the people what they want. So, obviously, as always, thank you for getting in and getting involved. And
we mentioned Edward was checking us out from El Salvador, but let's get to Rinkwide Worldwide and see what we've added to our map here. And you can see a couple of pins there in the Far East, Korea and Hong Kong. And I want to shout out Rick in Chicago, who... I met when the Canucks were in Philadelphia a bunch of years ago. They were practicing in Philly, and I think he was going to med school in Philadelphia. He came out to practice at Penn University. We had a quick chat. I have gone back and forth on social. He's now working in Chicago, but he says he checks Rink Wide out. So we salute you, Rick. Thanks for your support. And again, continuing to try to add these pins as we go. And we want to hear from you on any of our feedback channels. Just drop us a note. We'd love to hear as we move into round two. We want to continue to fill up the map. So where are you checking out Rinkwide? Where are Canuck fans located around this planet Earth? And we'll drop a few pins on the next couple of Rinkwide episodes. So please take a moment. And I also ask, because I'm just curious too, wherever you are, what time is start time for a standard 7 o'clock Pacific time face-off? So are you watching in the middle of the night? Are you watching early the next day? Do you record them and watch them at your convenience? How do you consume Canuck hockey wherever you are wearing your Canuck colors?
To your point, Jeff, Rinkwide Worldwide, this is amazing. So I just put out, where are you watching? Mm-hmm. Don't say Yale Town in our YouTube chat, okay?
Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Makati, Philippines was the first answer.
Okay.
The second one was Winnipeg. Third, Ontario. Fourth, Edmonton. Fifth, Pullman, Washington. So no one's watching from Vancouver right now, which isn't a bad thing, you know, obviously, but this is why we do this, Rinkwide Worldwide. Thank you very much for watching. It's awesome.
Absolutely. We're still waiting for official confirmation, but there's enough clues out there that the thing's going to get ramped up again on Tuesday. Isn't Pearl Jam in on...
Saturday and Monday.
Okay.
So Sunday would be a stretch.
And Sunday was going to be Game 7 if required. So the roadies are probably happy that they don't have to truck... all the stuff in and out. They could probably leave the stage set up, I would imagine, now, because they would have had to strike it for a Game 7, but they can probably, with shows on Saturday and Monday, and get the rock and roll out of the way and get back to hockey on Tuesday. And we would think Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday would make sense. The hockey night would want the Saturday game, and then probably Monday in Edmonton for Game 4. But whenever that schedule is released, certainly... and it may come later tonight if, in fact, Dallas can take care of Vegas and we have, the final four in the West set. It may have to wait a little bit, but whatever the case, you're going to see, it won't sneak up on you. It won't come as a surprise. You will see the start date and the schedule.
It'll be announced later tonight, probably, or tomorrow.
As we wrap things up here, and we just look back at a night that, boy, you had to be patient. It was a waiting game, obviously. And the Vancouver Canucks didn't blink with a rookie goaltender between the pipes. Artur Silov, certainly one of the stories of this series. Pia Suter comes through. Just as we step back, when you look at the series as a whole, who is the best Vancouver Canuck?
Ooh, probably Quinn Hughes. I mean, he was in it all over the place. I know he's getting banged up. But, I mean, look, Artur Silov, right? When he played in his very short time, he definitely was.
Brock coming through with a hat trick and four goals. Yeah. I mean, I think would have put an exclamation point on that question had he been the guy that scored the winner tonight. Yeah. But he had a fine series. And the hat trick game, obviously, scored the winner in game number three. So he was good in Nashville.
JT's always JT. Yeah, he's always involved.
Absolutely. Yeah. We talked about Lindholm coming through and you know, the reasons that they picked him up. You know, anybody's list of who needs to step up is going to start with Elias Pettersson. We get that. I think there's room for improvement, obviously, from Hoglander. Dakota Joshua tailed off, I thought, as the series kind of went along. He got off to such a good start, and you thought he's announced his arrival here. And it'll be interesting. I mean, they went with the same 12 forwards throughout. Podkolzin got sent down to Abbotsford, so Nils Amon is the only healthy forward. I don't see him drawing in.
I don't think so.
You know, did Teddy Bluger and Sam Lafferty and Phil DiGiuseppe. DiGiuseppe part of the penalty kill. Obviously, Bluger is as well. So
Nikita Zadorov had a great series.
Zadorov definitely had a good series. Like, you don't win a playoff series without a number of candidates.
Yeah.
They'll need more. You know, we listed off three or four there. The list is going to have to double if they're going to hold their own and find a way to keep McDavid in check and ultimately to hold that Edmonton power play under control. And I'm not sure. You can hope to slow the Oilers power play. I'm not sure that you're stopping entirely.
No, absolutely not. And look, I think that the message from Rick Tocchet to his Vancouver Canucks team now is, we won a round. Why can't we go beat the Edmonton Oilers? We're not a favorite in this series. No one expects us to win. So you go with that mindset. Yeah, you won the division and you played so well all year and you did all of this. And people thought you're going to, at one point, you're going to be the President's Trophy. At one point when we did a show, I believe they had the three leading scores in the NHL after that Islanders game. I don't think we did the game, but the three yep. Islanders scores, they were all 3-1-2-3 in scoring in the NHL. So the Canucks have the talent to do it. And I think now it's almost an underdog type of mentality, right? We're against this Edmonton Oilers team that's supposed to go and win the Stanley Cup. So that's the mindset that this team should have, that they can go up and swing with the Giants that are Connor McDavid and Leon Draisaitl.
Second round playoff hockey here in Vancouver. It's been a long, long time. Already looking forward to it. And the battle of two Canadian teams is going to be a ton of fun on and off the ice, and a chance to watch Connor McDavid. I know it's not fun to play against Connor McDavid, but just from a spectator standpoint, to see him at playoff time do his thing, probably worth the price of admission if you're one of the ones that's lucky enough to have a ticket for games one or two. And as far as this series goes along, Rinkwide's going back out on the road. That much I know for sure. Our commitment to cover this series. We didn't go back for game six in Nashville, but bags will be packed again, and we'll come your way after games three and four from Rogers Place in Edmonton after the series starts here at Rogers Arena. So already looking forward to another trek here on behalf of the program and do what we did from Bridgestone Arena. So you're going to have to hold down the fort for games three and four.
We're doing it. I'm excited.
Did
It'll
a fine
be great.
Job without a doubt. But yeah, I'll be in studio with you for games one and two. And yeah, can't get here quickly enough. But again, the Canucks can probably use a little bit of a breather here, taking care of the Predators as they did in six games. All right, for the guys that are working hard behind the scenes, you don't see them, but you see their handiwork, Mike and Jacob back there in our producer's booth. We thank them, certainly, and we look forward to continuing to work with them. And for Irf here and the guests that you brought on board, Brendan Morrison, we had Eddie Lack there when I was away in Nashville.
Yeah, we'll get a couple so more.
Thank
we'll
them for their contributions.
Up, yep.
Yeah, we'll see what we're able to come up with as this series moves along. But you know the drill by now. We'll be here moments after the final buzzer, breaking down and talking about everything that we saw, that you saw as well. So we're kind of making it a gathering point after each and every one of these Vancouver Canuck playoff games. For Applewood Auto Group, our title sponsor, and we thank them for their support as well. It's not possible without our partners. For IRF, this is Jeff. Again, the final score one more time. The Vancouver Canucks won. The Nashville Predators, no score. The Canucks take care of the Preds 4-2. They're off to the second round that we think will start on Tuesday, and that's when we'll be back with our next episode of Rinkwide Vancouver.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.